The series that we have started called Growing in Knowledge of God. The fact that, as I said before, God wants us to grow in knowing Him, not just intellectually, but also experientially. That He has not called us to a stagnant relationship, but He has called us to grow. The scripture talks about from faith to faith. For us to go from faith to faith, we have to grow in our understanding of who He is. Cause us to grow from glory to glory. So today I want to share on another name of the Lord, Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. Last week I shared about the Lord is there, Yahweh Shama. And if the Lord is there, then He brings with Him His very presence, His very nature. And part of His very nature is that of peace. So turn with me, if you will, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. You know, as the different prophetic words came, and I have reflected upon them, and I see what's presently happening, and can sort of anticipate what may happen in the future, I've come to appreciate how much more crucial it will be for us, you and me, to know the Lord as Shalom, as peace. You know, there's just so many issues occurring all around us. And when a people, when an individual is walking with the Shalom of God, they respond differently to the issues all around us. You know, just this last few days, they have been talking about a new variant of the COVID-19 virus, you know, Omicron, that they say is, they're not sure if the present vaccines can immunize people against it, and they've already started to ban travel from certain nations. As I've said before, the scientists and the medical community, they really don't know what the future is. They really don't know what this virus is going to do. They're just trying to slow things down. And you and me as a church, we have to look to the Lord for answers and look to the Lord for His protection and look to the Lord for His intervention. Only the Lord can help us. And so don't put your trust in, you know, whatever it might be around us, whether it be vaccine or pills or whatever it is. Thank God for them. I'm not knocking them. Thank God for them. But they are just not the final answer. And so God is the only one we can look to. And again, we have to live this life with the Shalom of God, the peace of God in our hearts. So in Judges, we find a situation with the Israelites where they had not listened to the Lord. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Again, it says, "And Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years He gave them into the hands of the Midianites." And I like the way the scripture puts it. He says that they did evil in the eyes of the Lord, or in the sight of the Lord, because evil is not defined by what I think, or what you think, or what government thinks, or what society thinks. Because as I've witnessed in the last few years, what society thinks changes so quickly from what they think was evil to what they think now is actually fully accepted. So evil really is defined by the Lord. What He thinks is acceptable, what He thinks is right, is good, and what goes against that is evil. So Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and because of that, the power of Midian was so oppressive. God gave them over to oppression. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. They had to be hiding out. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country and just basically took whatever they wanted. All of the crops, all of the animals just came and just took what they wanted. The protection over Israel was removed because of their disobedience to the Lord. And there's something there for us to understand, that when a people live their life in obedience to the Lord, is a protection that comes over our lives. And when we decide that we don't want to live under God, we want to do our own thing, that protection is not guaranteed. Let's put it that way. And that's what happened to Israel. Verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. And so the Lord, his very nature, he responds to them. He sends an angel to speak to Gideon. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." What an interesting greeting. So Gideon is there hiding out, pressing the grapes, trying to get some grape juice or whatever else they were doing in the wine press, perhaps pressing olives too. But there he was hiding out, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and says to him, first and foremost, "The Lord is with you." And that by itself is important. As we were saying last week, the Lord is there, meaning the Lord's presence is there. The Lord wants us to appreciate that he's with us. Whether the circumstances around us are good or bad, he has assured us that he's with us. And that by itself should encourage us. And that's why the angel said that to Gideon. He wanted to encourage Gideon. The Lord is with you despite what you are experiencing. And then the angel went further and declared him a mighty or valiant warrior. Mighty warrior. A man who has not yet fought any battle. A man who's still scared. And I've come to appreciate that God doesn't look at me in my natural ways of functioning. As I look around, and there's so many things, sometimes we do get a little bit concerned. We do get anxious. That's why Paul would say to the church, be anxious for nothing. That things happen all around us, and they come sometimes close. But God doesn't come to us and say, "You scare the cat. You worrisome warrior." God looks at us through different eyes. And so even as that prophetic word came earlier, I think God wants us to see ourselves as he sees us. Because if we can do that, it changes not only our perspective, but it changes how we respond to the situations around us. So whether you are a seasoned Christian or a newborn believer, God sees each of us as mighty warriors. And he would come and he would declare that and proclaim that over us. And you and I need to hear what he's saying and proclaim the same thing over ourselves and over our children, over those who are around us. That we are mighty warriors in the Lord. So Gideon is like most of us. He had a quick response, verse 13. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles? Where are all the sick being raised? Where are all the crippled walking? If the Lord is with us, where are all the miracles that we have heard about and read about?" And one of the things I liked about this story is that the angel doesn't respond to Gideon's question. And I've discovered that in my walk with the Lord sometimes. I ask him questions and he just doesn't even respond. Perhaps he doesn't think I'm mature enough to handle the answer, so he just doesn't respond. He doesn't respond to Gideon, but rather, verse 14, rather the Lord, Yahweh, L-O-R-D, turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" So the Lord is not into any discussion or in a debate. The Lord is saying, "I'm sending you. Go in the strength that you have, and I will be with you." And I can imagine Gideon is there a little bit hesitant, and the question is on his face, and he's like, And that's what the Lord says, am I not sending you, boy? Go! Verse 15, but Lord, another but. Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. And the Lord answers, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. All you need to know is that the Lord is with you. It doesn't matter where you stand in society. It doesn't matter your rank in society. It doesn't matter how important you think you are or unimportant you think you are. All we need to know is that the Lord is with us. And so that's what the Lord said to Gideon. You don't need to know anything else but the fact that I am with you. And if I am with you, therefore, you will experience victory. How many of you know that the Lord by himself is a majority? The Lord by himself is the majority. So if the Lord is with us, we already are assured of victory. And so the Lord comes back to Gideon and says, I am with you. So many of you know the story. Gideon now continues to talk to the angel and he brings out meat. Verse 20. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and unleavened bread and place them on the rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Up to this point, Gideon doesn't realize he's talking to an angel. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I've seen angel of the Lord face to face. This is when the angel disappeared and he saw the sacrifice being consumed. That's when Gideon realized, oh my goodness, I've been talking to the Lord. And Gideon understood then, if you see the Lord face to face, you're probably not going to live. But the Lord responded quickly to Gideon. Verse 23, the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace, or Yahweh Shalom. And that's where the phrase comes from. Gideon's response to realizing he had spoken to this angel and thinking he was going to die and therefore full of fear and anxiety, and the Lord speaks peace to Gideon. And so Gideon, in realizing what he just encountered, decided to build an altar as a way of memorizing what he has experienced, a way of putting something in place to remind him of the fact that he had experienced the Lord as Shalom. He had experienced the Lord as the one who intervened in his life and in his circumstance. And then the Lord asked him to do a very difficult thing. Verse 25 of Judges chapter 6. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Now that you've experienced me as Shalom, well-being, peace. Now that you've experienced me that way, here's your first assignment. Tear down your father's altar. Friends, when God calls us, sometimes our first assignment is to make a break from some of the traditions in our own families. Sometimes our families can be the greatest obstacle to you and me fulfilling God's purpose and God's call in our lives. Sometimes you and I sit down and worry too much about what this one is going to think and what this one is going to say. And so sometimes the first thing that God wants us to do is something that goes contrary to everything that our family might believe or want to say. You've got to face up with it. And so here now was Gideon and his first assignment. Your father put up this altar to Baal. Obviously his father is a man of some sort of significance in the community. He claims he's the youngest in his father's family. And he's the one the Lord is saying, you now need to tear that down. You now need to publicly renounce some of the stuff your father has been involved in. Hello? Church, can I tell you that that's where it starts? It starts with you and I being able to be so obedient to the Lord that you're not too concerned about what your father, your mother, your children, whoever is in your family might think. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord no matter what. And I've met many individuals who couldn't make that break. I remember when I was in college, there was a young man who came from a Muslim family. And we shared the gospel with him while he was there in dorm. And he believed the gospel. And wanted to follow the Lord. And he did for a short while. And then he understood that his family was going to disinherit him. Because he came from a Muslim family. And he couldn't make the break completely. But if you and I want to be faithful to the Lord, we have to make the break. We have to sever some of the generational stuff and be faithful to the Lord. We have to cut off some things. We have to renounce some things. And so Gideon obeyed the Lord. He was fearful and trembling. He did it at night. You all know that. And pulled down the altar. Verse 26, the Lord says, then build a proper altar, proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So not only are you going to pull down the altar of Baal, but you're going to establish an altar to the Lord. This is serious stuff. Before you can go and fight anything on the behalf of Israel, you've got to deal with some personal stuff initially. You already have the Lord as Shalom. You've already experienced His peace. Therefore, you have to move in obedience to the Lord. I mean, this is crucial stuff because in our own family, sometimes we have people who are involved in all manner of things, and we don't want to upset anyone. We don't want to say that this is sin and that is. But the reality is that the word of the Lord is clear. You know, so if there are people in your family who are homosexuals and gays and they're married together and all sort of stuff, the word of the Lord is clear. And we can't maybe God might make a little way for you. No, the word of the Lord is clear. How can you go out there and be preaching the gospel trying to save the world if you can't take a stand in your own family? Hello. These are serious things. But that's what God called Gideon to do before he could go out there and fight against the Midianites and the Amalekites and others. So Yahweh being peace doesn't mean that we sit back and we just, bask in His presence. It means that when He speaks, you and I have to move in obedience to maintain that peace in our life. Lord, help us. So let's talk a little bit more about this Shalom idea. It's a revelation I put here in the notes of God's very nature. He's a God of peace, of well-being. It means, I put it here, inner tranquility and confidence in God. Jesus said to the disciples, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." So it's not a peace that means that there is externally things are, peaceful. He's not talking about the absence of external war and conflict. No, he's talking about the inner tranquility that you and I have with God. When he comes and says Jehovah Shalom, that's what it means. When he says peace on earth, it's talking about peace on earth to men upon whom God's favor rests. That's what the literal Greek is talking about. It's not talking about the absence of war. It's talking about there are individuals who are going to be walking with God, who are in God's favor, who will experience this divine peace. And so they can obey God no matter what, because this divine peace is upon them. And this is God's will for all of his people, to walk with this divine well-being, this divine shalom. That's why when he brought Israel out of Egypt into, they were in the wilderness, one of the first things he told Aaron to do in terms of blessing his people, that blessing there in Numbers 6, it ends with, may the peace of God, the shalom of God rest upon you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you and give you his shalom. It's God's will, it's God's desire for all of his people to walk with this divine shalom in their lives. So that you're not disturbed by the external circumstances. There's chaos all around, but you and I can walk with the divine peace of God. We're not pulling our hair out. We're not running around crazy because we have the peace of God. And friends, from what I understand from the scriptures, things are going to get more and more difficult. Right now we have this COVID-19 things. And you can get anxious just by listening to the news or reading the news. I hear there's another variant. What are you going to do? Are you going to live in anxiety or are you going to live with the peace of Almighty God? You see that the cost of things are going up and inflation is going up and the stock market is going down. What are you going to do? You have to live with the peace of God. It's independent of the circumstances all around us. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. John chapter 14 and verse 27. This is what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Why is he telling them that? Because he knows there's going to be stuff to make our hearts be troubled, stuff to make us afraid. And he's saying, I have come to give you this divine peace. Something that the world knows nothing about. Something that the world cannot give to you or to me. Only God can give us this divine peace. Psalm 29 and verse 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11 of Psalm 29. This is what it says. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. So there's flood, but the psalmist is affirming some things that Yahweh, L-O-R-D, big L-O-R-D, sits enthroned over the flood. He reigns over the flood. So there's flood out there, and if you focus on the flood, you get anxious. What we have to focus on, the fact that is God is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever, irrespective of what politicians may do. God is enthroned as king forever. They're only here for a short time. In our context, 4 years, maybe 8 years. They're only here for a short time. Our God sits enthroned forever. Then this is what the psalmist says. The Lord gives strength to his people. God gives strength to you and to me. We feel as if we're losing strength. We wait upon the Lord and he renews our strength. He strengthens you and me. And this is what it says then. The Lord blesses his people with peace. It's God's will. It's God's heart for you and for me. For us to walk in peace, live in peace. Anxiety all around us. The world's in chaos. All sort of stuff happening. And there's a people who are walking with the peace of Almighty God. Isaiah 57, book of Isaiah 57 and verse 20 and 21. Well, let's start at verse 18. Isaiah 57, verse 18. The Lord is talking about his people and he says, I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. So something has happened. People are mourning in Israel. And this is God's response. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. So God's word is peace, peace. You're going through some times of grief, some times of difficulties. God says, peace, peace. Verse 20. The wicked are like the tossing sea. They're being tossed here, there, and everywhere because of the circumstances. So if you and I put our eyes upon the wicked, you're going to get tossed with them too. If you listen to the wicked to get aware of how to function, you're going to be tossed here, there, and everywhere. That's how the wicked is. Wow. So the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. And so here's a word, underline it in your Bible, highlight it, put it in your memory box. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Hello? So don't be surprised that the people who are wicked are anxious and fearful and worried and fretful. There's no peace for them because they don't know the Prince of Peace. They don't have him. So how can they experience this inner tranquility? So if things are going to get more difficult, according to Matthew 24, before the Lord returns, there's going to be increase in pestilence and famine and all sort of stuff. Then you and I have to make sure that we are walking with the divine shalom in our hearts. And not to be surprised that, man, this has happened and that has happened and we can't get this and we can't get that. And you're listening to the commentators on the television and they're worried. It's only the child of God, the children of God, the people of God who can walk with this divine shalom. Run to us, a son is born. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Of all things, he will be called the Prince of Peace. Why is that? He's the source of peace. That's the message of the Messiah. That's the message, really, of this time of the year. Isaiah 53 says, verse 5, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." It's paid for on the cross, paid for through his suffering, provided for you and for me to walk in his divine peace. Here's a scripture that really encouraged me recently. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 16. This is Paul praying for the Thessalonians. And he says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself," the Lord of peace himself, emphasis there in the Greek, "may he give you peace at all times," not just when things are good, but at all times. We need to have this divine peace walking with. And it says, "and in every way." And I've been meditating upon that. So we need peace, not only at all times, but in every way. Every situation, every circumstance. Think about that. Because sometimes you can be at peace, you know, over your finances, but you're worried over here about what's going to happen in the nation. And we need to get some peace there. Maybe you're okay, but you're still in this deep, deep grief, mourning, and Lord comes and he wants us to receive a certain type of peace in the midst of that grief and that mourning. He says, "Peace, peace." So we need peace in every way. On the job, the peace of God. If you choose not to be vaccinated, the peace of God. If you choose to be vaccinated, the peace of God. In every way. Mark chapter 4. Here's a story which we all know. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. "A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped." So this is not just a little, you know, downpour. The waves are of such that water is coming into the boat. These are experienced fishermen. And where is Jesus? It says, verse 38, "Jesus is in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." Talking about somebody who's at peace. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They're accusing him of not caring. They don't understand this divine peace. "So how come you're not worried? You don't care if price of things go up? You don't care if the poor don't have food?" He said to his disciples, before we get there, verse 39, "He got up." And what did he do? "He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the waves died down and it was completely calm." Do you have that in your Bible? What did he do? Let me hear you. What did he do? Spoke what? Rebuke what? He spoke to the waves and the wind. Isn't that what he did? No, this is serious stuff, you know. So there's a squall, water coming into the boat, and he wakes up, and he's like, "Oh, Father, help us, please deliver us." He spoke to the wind and to the waves. How many of you know that you can speak to things? You understand what I'm saying? How many of you can speak to things, speak to circumstances, speak to situations? That's what Jesus did. He spoke to the wind. No, if the people around don't understand this, they're like, you're crazy. What are you doing? How can you talk to the waves? And if they're philosophical type people, they might say, do waves have ears? Can they hear you? How are you talking to the waves? But the wind and the waves heard and they obeyed. And they became calm. And then he said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Who is this man? Who is he? Why are they asking this question? Why? He says, even the wind and the waves obeyed him. In other words, they realized he got up and spoke to the winds and the waves. And they were like, oh my goodness. We have been fishing here, Peter and us, for so many years. It has never been heard of somebody speaking to the wind and the waves. I think it was Bill Johnson who said, you're not ready to speak to the wind and the waves until you're ready to sleep through the storm. Until you can be at that place of peace that you can release into the circumstances. If you're trying to release peace but you're anxious, you're not really releasing peace, you're releasing anxiety. And I've been around some people like that. I call them anxious presence. We need some people who are presence of God's peace. And so from that place of peace, you can now release peace into the circumstances and situations. That's what Jesus did. That's why when he saw his disciples after his resurrection, he was already at peace. He could say, peace I give unto you. Oh, help us. In Isaiah, the prophet says, he will keep in peace, perfect peace, the one whose mind is steadfast, or the one whose mind is stayed on the Lord. When you have your mind and your heart set upon the Lord, when fear and anxiety comes, the Lord says, well, Paul says, to pray through with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then it says, the peace of God will come and will guard our hearts and our minds. And so that's what divine peace does. It guards not only your heart, but your mind. So you're not walking around worrying and fretting. And you have total tranquility inside. Yes. The Dow Jones dropped 900 points. That's all right. There's a lot more to go if you don't realize that yet. Peace. He will take care of us. He has already done so in the past. He's doing so right now. And he will do so in the future. And that's why as he taught the disciples and helped them to experience this peace. That's why you could send them out now in twos and say, when you come to a home, just release God's peace into that home. And if there's a person of peace there, it will rest upon that home. That's Matthew chapter 10, I think. So you and I have been given this privilege of not only walking in peace, but bringing peace into different circumstances and situations. I'm going to ask, is it Sean and Daniel? Come on back. And we can pray like Paul prayed, may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times in every way. In Philippians chapter 4, after praying like that, then Paul then says to them, you need to learn to control your thoughts, control your mind. So verse 7 of Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let those things occupy your mind. In other words, you and I can control our thoughts. We can decide what we're going to think on. And if you think on anxiety, if you think of things that are under control, if you think that, you know, you're going to end up being anxious. If you think that men will be able to solve all of our problems, you're going to end up being anxious. If you think that the scientific community will be able to control this virus, you're going to end up being anxious. But if we instead think about the goodness of God, we sang it earlier, and all of our lives He has been faithful. All of our lives He has been good. And His goodness is running after you and after me. Therefore, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, God's goodness is surrounding me. I've asked some individuals, come on up. Come on up. Lord Caroline, come on up and just stand facing. Can the rest of us just stand? Can everyone over here face them? If you have a circumstance or a situation that is a distraction to you. It doesn't even have to be a distress, but if it's a distress, that also was a distraction to you. I've asked his brother and his sisters to be up here. Just come on up to one of them, share briefly, and they'll pray with you and release God's peace into your life and to the circumstance. And believe God with you for breakthrough. It might be a situation in your family. It might be a relationship. It might be your own health. Or the health of somebody else, but it's a distraction to you. It's creating heartache. Then I'm going to invite you to come on up to one of these individuals up here, so we can pray and minister one to another. So you can live and have God's peace in every area of your life. So the altars are open. Come on up. Anybody else? Is Angie? Angie's put up here too. Angie over here. You can live at peace, having this. Anybody else? Come on up. These brothers and sisters will pray with you. Let's all join in singing this song to the Lord. As we close, we want to also pray for those who may have needs or participating online, and also to remember the abortion case that is coming up before the Supreme Court. Should be sometime this week. So Father God, we thank you that you are indeed Jehovah Shalom. Now we thank you that, Lord, in these troubled times and the troublesome times that are to come, Lord, you have promised us your peace. Lord, you have released into our lives your peace. Lord, you have allowed us to be able to lay hold of your peace for every different circumstance and every different situation. Lord, we pray for those, oh God, who are not physically here. Lord, they are participating online, whether it be now or sometime later, they might watch this broadcast. And Father, we pray peace into their lives and peace into every one of their situations. Lord, peace into their families. That, Father, they would gather through this holiday season, Lord, that there will be peace in their gatherings. That, Lord, you remove fear and anxiety, O God, from the hearts of your people. That, Lord, despite what happens around us, Lord, despite the chaos that might be around us, despite the unpredictability of things around us, Lord, that your people might experience your divine shalom, your divine peace. Now, for those who need healing, Lord, I release healing to flow into their bodies. Lord, rebuke sickness. Rebuke the spirit of infirmity that has come to afflict your people. And Lord, release healing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, release financial miracles for those who are in need financially. Release financial miracles. Lord, we call back into the fold, O God, loved ones who have wandered away. Loved ones who are ensnared by the devil. Lord, we decree release, we declare freedom this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, for those who are going through grief, and Lord, in the midst of the grief, they experience the peace of Almighty God. And Lord, we lift up also coming up this week, Lord, the abortion case that has come before our Supreme Court. Lord, we pray it might continue to touch the hearts of all of our justices. Lord, speak to them in dreams, speak to them in visions. Father, send people into their path, Lord. Father, cause your hearts to be turned towards you, Lord. Lord, those who even now might be thinking differently, Lord, trouble them in their own spirits, O God, until they yield, O God, to your will and your purposes. Father, I pray as the justices would hear cases and they'd hear testimonies, that, Father, you would speak into their hearts. And, Lord, we ask you, O Lord God, as the real judge of the earth, we ask you, Father, to intervene in this case and to overturn this Roe v. Wade ruling, mighty God. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. And so, Lord, today as your people, we agree together and we thank you, Lord, for hearing us, so God, as our God, and for overturning this ungodly ruling, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Lord, as we leave here, Lord, may we continue to walk with your peace. May we continue to sense your very presence upon our lives. Lord, may you give us the faith, oh God, to speak into the circumstances that are contrary to your will and to bring them in alignment with your will and purposes. Father, we ask, oh God, to continue to go with us, continue to teach us, continue to bring us into intimacy with you. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
And amen.